Good morning. Welcome to Unity Church on this wonderful December morning, cold as we are. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which is intended to serve as a roadmap and an invitation to deeper involvement in the life of the church. You're invited to join us for Wellspring Wednesday this week. Program details are in This Week at Unity. If you wish to dine with us, please sign up after the service. Dinner is at 6, family worship at 6:45, and the programs begin at 7:10. Next week, on December 10th at 11 a.m., we will be holding a celebration of new lives. If you or anyone you know would like to have their infant or young toddler dedicated, please contact Christy Randall in the nursery or call the church and leave a message. This morning, after the 11 o'clock service, this month's Unity artist, Ken Olson, will be presenting slides of his marvelous photographs, some of which are visible in the parish hall. This is a great Sunday to buy gifts at Unity Church. The Tower Club is selling wreaths and cookies, and the annual Bolivian craft sale, sponsored by the Mano a Mano Ministry Outreach Team, is taking place in the cloister this morning after the service. Proceeds from this sale benefit the medical and community development work of Mano a Mano's medical resources in Bolivia. Following this service, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can see new friends and old, visit our excellent bookstall, and stop by the information tables. Our children's and adult libraries are open after every service and available to you. The libraries are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. If you're interested in becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table, which is also in the parish hall. Two other announcements. One is, I made a mistake, and we are not going to sing O Come Emmanuel out of the gray hymnal. That would be very disturbing. We are actually going to sing it out of the supplement with the older words, and that would be S41. That's the closing hymn this morning. Don't make the mistake of trying to sing that out of the gray hymnal. Use the little gray hymnal, the supplement, S41. The other thing I wanted to tell you is, it may be difficult for you to see this, but these candles are 3 feet away from the trees. This is also 3 feet, and we have fire extinguishers up here. Okay? Everybody okay with this? We get letters every year about this. We are very careful. Thank you. Next week, Jan Eller Isaacs and Worship Associate Ginger Reynolds will offer a service entitled Bringing Kindness to the Season. Services will be held at 9, 11, and 4:30. Sonia and I would like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
Advent, in Latin, means coming or arrival. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, which on the Christian calendar is a holy season marked by a spirit of expectation, preparation, and longing. It references the waiting the Hebrews did for their Messiah, and simultaneously serves to remind us of the waiting we endure for peace in this world today. Come, let us gather here in expectation, preparation, longing, and hope. Come, let us worship together.
Let us read in unison number 429. Come into this place of peace, and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory, and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power, and let its visions change your heart. Please be seated. each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we take a moment to invite into the circle of friendship and compassion we want our church to be those who can't be here with us today, those who are in need of the very real care of this congregation, those who have died, those who are off celebrating some great turning in their lives. I will begin, and then I will invite you to share the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We want you to know the church is at your side. We hold in our prayers this morning Betty Shore Bloyer, who fell last week and broke her tibia and femur. She is recovering at St. John's Hospital. Alan Giles, who fell and hurt his knee and is currently waiting for surgery. Mike Schwab, who, having served Camp Unistar for 15 years, is now entering a period of vocational discernment. Alex Chandler, who is facing some difficult decisions relating to her health. Laura Frickman's father, who fell and broke his hip. His hospitalization has revealed additional issues which are of deep concern to his family. And Ward Schindel, who has been living with lymphoma, is glad to share the news that his latest scans are all clear. Finally, we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to speak the names of those you've brought here with you. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, give us courage. Courage to simply be. Courage to turn with the turning of the year and to surrender to the darkness. Help us, we pray, to move into and beyond our fears, knowing that the creative impulse, the possibility of new life, awaits those willing to be transformed, awaits those willing to risk knowing the truth. Strengthen us in our resolve to hold and to help, and yes, to hone each other. In Thy service, this we pray. Amen.
Thank you. In mid-May, 5 years ago, I was approached at coffee hour by a couple of women who had been fostering for some time the relationship between the church and the village of Nchenachena in Malawi. That relationship goes back to 1961, when a young man named Triwell Narango came into the care of this congregation, and in particular, into Emily's care. He became a physician with the help of this congregation, and he went back to Malawi, a place where there are 130 physicians nationwide. Did you hear that? And he started a clinic which presently serves about 50,000 people at three sites. These two women wanted me to go to Malawi as soon as possible and to speak to Triwell Narango because he had turned 60 in a place where the average life expectancy, I believe, is 32. And they wanted to know about the future of that village and in particular about the future of the clinics. And I said, being an experienced minister, I will go if you can find a physician who will go with me. Well, the next day I got a call from John Souchere, who said, "So, you want to go to Africa?" And within a month, we were in Malawi, and we were coming to know the Narango family, and we were witnessing the work of the clinic, and we were asking Triwell, "What are your plans? How do you hope to keep this going?" At which point, Triwell said to us, "This is Thomas." That was a little over 3 years ago, and now Thomas is a senior at Lawrence University. This congregation and some friends of this congregation have been paying his tuition. Those of you who received your newsletter have already had a chance to read in detail about Thomas's educational process, about his hopes to attend medical school next year in South Africa, and about the generous offer to match today's offering up to $10,000 so that we can continue to support Thomas and through Thomas to support the future of that part of the world with which we have been in relationship for so long. I'm talking a long time. You may have noticed that. That's because it's time to get out your checkbooks. Checks may be made out to Unity Church, Malawi Fund. Every dollar you give this morning will be matched, dollar for dollar. I ask you to be generous, not only because Christmas is coming and it's a time of generosity, but because the work of the clinics in Malawi saves lives, and the love that radiates from this place helps transform the world. Will the ushers please come forward? To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate our lives and this our offering. the next four Sundays, we're going to add a meditation session to the liturgy. The season can be difficult. The cacophony of commercialism tends to batter us. And I want very much, we want very much, to help you stand against that storm. So we're going to be adding various musical lines to this as the weeks go on. But I'm going to teach you a very simple, basic approach to it. And then we're going to go into silence for a short time. And then I'll get you started. I'll sing a line and you sing it back to me. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. When I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. Let's just sing that through a couple of times. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. What we're going to do is we're going to be quiet for a moment, and then I'll start singing it, and you join in. We'll sing it three times. Don't rush it, please. In unison. And then you can do whatever you want to it, and we'll sing it three more times. Okay?
by Sylvia Plath. This is called Nick and the Candlestick. I am a miner. The light burns blue. Waxy stalactites drip and thicken. Tears. The earthen womb exudes from its dead boredom. Black bat airs wrap me. Raggy shawls. Cold homicides. They weld to me like plums. Old cave of calcium, icicles, old echoer. Even the newts are white, those holy joes. And the fish, Christ, they are panes of ice, a vice of knives, a piranha religion. Drinking its first communion out of my live toes. The candle gulps and recovers its small attitude. Its yellows harden. Oh, love, how did you get here? Oh, embryo, remembering, even in sleep, your crossed position. The blood blooms clean in you, Ruby. The pain you wake to is not yours. Love, love, I have hung our cave with roses, with soft rugs. The last of Victoriana, let the stars plummet to their dark address. Let the mercuric atoms that cripple deep into the terrible well. You are the one solid the spaces lean on, envious. You are the baby in the barn.
My soul magnifies God. We are enlarged.
And rejoicing, my spirit breaks out, rejoicing in the face of freedom.
That God, something now within, yet not mine, has glanced at this daughter of hope.
And behold, henceforth, time will know and regard me.
For that great mystery is a beam drawn through this lens.
Comforting me and all people, the shadows now dispersed.
There is strength here like the sinew of a mother's arm.
It shatters the brittle pride of wealth.
It levels the clayfoot thrones of tyrants.
It upholds the forgotten, the scarred.
Hunger, both body and soul, will be filled.
Riches will no more be rewarded.
The Holy One cleaves to those who keep faith. It will endure in those who serve mercy.
And the promise made to legend ancestors will be kept.
Forgive me, my delight, that grief and loneliness have kept me. Though I come to you in darkness, you are companion of the light that rises on all I know. In the long night of the year and of the spirit, God's birth is met with simple noise. Deaf and blind in division, I reach and do not find. You show the gentler way. We come to good by love. Our words must be made flesh, and flesh must be made word at last. Our lives rise in speech to our children's tongues. They will tell how once we stood here, two trees whose lives in annual sheddings made their way into this ground, whose bodies turned to earth and song. The song will tell how old love sweetens the fields.
is dried us, hope inside us will lead the way on the road from greed to giving. Love will guide us through the long night. He
Well, much to the delight of most of the elders, the cold and dark have finally come again. And we can slow down just a little bit. We rise to pray each morning in the uneasy peace before dawn. I light a candle and I take a deep breath and let it out with a sigh, and lie down on my back to start the day. Most mornings now I wake up with my body full of bees. How are you? Jam will ask. I'll be okay, I say. Years of experience have taught me how morning devotions soon drive the night terrors away. So I stretch out, and then I write for a while. I read, and I breathe, and I stretch out again, and then I think of you, and I bow my head and pray. I tell you this not to impress you with my piety, but because I know so many of us spend time in the old cave of calcium icicles, old echoer, that place of cold night terrors Sylvia Plath so powerfully describes. She's pointing toward the emptiness. She's trying to describe the hollow place inside that only God can fill. Having gathered to give thanks for an abundant harvest, we turn now to the empty quarter, the place from which the storms sweep in, the time of year when wisdom counsels us to contemplate the empty place inside, to spend some time down in the earthen womb, that stone-cold cave which frightens us to death and promises new life. You probably know how it feels to wake up with your body full of bees. But just in case you miss my meaning, let me introduce you to my fruitful, frightening friends. I call them bees because they buzz, because they threaten to sting, and because they can cross-pollinate. It's a metaphor. It's Christmas. They flit around as random worries, setting off alarms whenever they pause to hover in the inner air. The fear is visceral. I know the bees aren't real any more than dreams are real. But the fear is real enough Their buzzing makes my breathing shallow. My heart speeds up. I tense up, waiting to be stung. I start to forget what I know. Sometimes the fear just takes over, and I myself become an angry bee, stinging whoever's closest to me, raging at the empty place inside that nothing ever seems to fill. Don't tell me you do not know what I'm talking about. I know you know. I know something about that emptiness. I know it's dangerous. I know we're taught from early childhood that every hunger is meant to be filled. And so we try to fill the hollow place inside with all kinds of things that just can't do the job. The longing for wholeness takes hold of us. We feel it physically. We call it a disease often, and in a very real sense, it is. Some of us attempt self-medication. We use drugs or alcohol to quell the yearning and fall into debilitating patterns of addiction. Others think that sex will do the trick. Some imagine food will provide the satisfaction that they seek and eat themselves into a stupor. Most frightening of all are those addicted to narrow, destructive ideologies who imagine that they know God's will and visit it upon their neighbors. When we encounter emptiness, our first impulse is to try to cure it. We want to make it go away. We want the suffering to stop, and we want it to stop right now. But hold on. Could emptiness be part of the design? Could the hollow place inside us be a standing invitation into depth? Instead of curing it, rather than finding some way to fill it up and seal it off and so escape the pain, might we not work to find a different way of being? Might we not befriend and bow before the empty place inside us? Oh, love, how did you get here? Love, love, I have hung our cave with roses. You are the one solid the spaces lean on envious. You are the baby in the barn. As our eyes begin to adjust to the darkness, we catch a first glimmer of the Christmas star. Advent is a time for learning how to wait again. I won't indulge myself or waste your time by yet again railing against the commercialization of Christmas. Even though I'm waking up each morning with my body full of bees, even though I can be an awful Grinch this time of year, I know that I'll eventually succumb. The spirit's just too strong in me. I've held too many babies in my arms to stand outside the stable in the dark. Let me simply point out that the holiday season inflames our yearning for wholeness and connection, while at the self-same time it deludes us into worshiping false gods. Our Advent theme this year is Images of Peace. As we contemplate the coming of the one so often called the Prince of Peace, we wonder if the wars will ever cease. I know there are some stern souls who question whether yet another sermon on the need for inner peace will undermine the urgent need to summon all our strength to confront and overcome the machinery of war. While I go on about the need for inner peace, innocents are dying in Iraq and Lebanon and Pennsylvania and God knows where else. Why aren't we out in the streets by the millions? What are we waiting for? Listen to the words Gabriel whispered into Mary's ear. There is strength here like the sinew of a mother's arm. It shatters the brittle pride of wealth. It levels the clayfoot thrones of tyrants. It upholds the forgotten, the scarred. Hunger both of body and soul will be filled. Riches will no more be rewarded. The Holy One cleaves to those who keep faith. It will endure in those who serve mercy. And the promise made to legend ancestors will be filled. I understand and oftentimes share that sense of urgency, but it does us little good. We live at the intersection of action and reflection. Self-reflection is no luxury, which has to wait until more urgent matters are attended to. It is as essential to our lives as food and drink. When we don't take time to get up early and befriend the darkness, we all too soon are overcome by our own inner demons. Then all our efforts in the name of peace, encumbered by our fear and rage and longing, will only magnify the violence we hope to quell. What was the promise made to legend ancestors? Surely not peace everlasting, though we should pray and work for peace with every fiber of our being. The promise is the baby in the barn. The promise is the possibility that you and I might come to know the Holy One concealed in the darkness, and not in some distant land, but here at home. Not in some long ago, but here, now, today. You are the promise. You are the one. Though grief and loneliness have kept you, you are the companion of the light that rises on all we know. Now wait a minute. Don't turn away. Don't be afraid. You're not the only one. But you are the one. Once your eyes have adjusted to the darkness, you'll see the others shining there like stars. The child of God is everywhere for those with eyes to see. Let it be our first Christmas prayer for this and every year to look into each other's eyes and see the holy light reflected there. It matters how you greet the day. It matters how we greet each other. It matters how we greet the many neighbors we have never known. So bow before the emptiness and bow before the light. The night is long this time of year to give our eyes time to adjust to the dark. The yearning is especially sweet and strong now. Don't fill it up, but savor it instead, so we might come to know its blessing. Oh, love, how did you get here? What mystery is at work when love is born again? Though I come to you in darkness, you are companion of the light that rises on all I know. Love, you know, takes tending, and in love lies the possibility of peace. We come to good by love, the poet farmer sings. Our words must be made flesh, and flesh must be made word at last. Our lives rise in speech to our children's tongues. They will tell how we once stood together here, trees whose annual sheddings made their way into this ground, whose bodies turned to earth and song. The song will tell how old love sweetens the fields. May it be so. And amen. Rise up in the darkness before dawn, light a candle, stretch out, turn toward each other, turn toward the world, and bow and pray for peace and work for peace. And be at peace. Amen.